Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, acquire the app called iCatcher, then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come today to a portion of Hebrews chapter 3, we ask for your blessing upon us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Grant us a right understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, have you ever focused on the symptoms of a problem, yet ignored the root of the problem? For example, the symptom might be that day by day you're having severe headaches. So how do you respond to that? You go ahead and take pain pills. And maybe the more severe, the more pain pills you take. But what is the actual problem? The actual root of the problem is that you have a brain tumor. Sometimes we're only dealing with the symptoms, not the root of the problem. What about a spiritual example? The symptom might be lying. So some people deal with it by saying, lying is not wrong. All my friends lie, so it's no big deal. I can continue lying. But what is the root of the problem? The root of the problem is unbelief. Because it says in the Bible that all liars will end up in the lake of fire. We can go through life and ignore our actual problems, but I believe it is better to get to the root of the problem and then receive God's saving medicine. He wants to give it to us, but we have to know what the problem is. We have to see the problem, agree with the problem, before we're ever going to receive what we need. Going to the first part here, I'm saying that holding fast is necessary. So we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 3. We're picking up here in verse 5, and the Bible says, "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. He spoke for God to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son by fulfilling what Moses had spoken." So Moses was great. Our Lord Jesus Christ is much greater. Then it goes on to say, "And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope." So what about our membership in God's house? Are we boasting to other people and saying, "Hey, I'm a child of God because God is the beginning of my life in Christ, God is the middle of my life in Christ, and God is the end of my life in Christ. Christ has done it, God is at work in my life, and all the glory is to him." Is that how we're going through life? Or do we tell other people, "Hey, I'm going to heaven because I attend church, I give money, and I serve"? So is it boasting about what God has done for us, or is it boasting about maybe what we have done for God? God wants us to know that it's good to do those actions I mentioned, but those actions cannot save anyone. At the same time, though, God wants us to understand that those who know Jesus as Savior, they will desire to do those things. Why would they have such a desire? Because God says in his word that those things are pleasing to him. And when we know Christ as Savior, God has worked it within us that now we want to know and we want to do what is pleasing to him. The second part, I say we have here a sad example of not holding fast. So now we're going to go back and hear what happened in the Old Testament, and this is going to become an example for us so that we don't go in the same way. Picking up in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, that is God's voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We're going to go to Numbers 14 here in just a moment, but let's keep in mind where we're jumping into. We keep in mind that the people of Israel, they had been enslaved in Egypt for about 400 years, and then God raised up Moses. He became the leader of those people, and with the powerful hand of God, he led them out of that slavery. So after all those years in slavery, now they are free. And God intends to bring them right into the promised land. So before they enter, though, there are 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12 spies, they go into the promised land, they look things over, and they come back and give a report to the rest of the people. The problem is that 10 of the 12, they gave a false report. They did not trust God. They did not believe that God could overcome the people living in the promised land. So they were afraid, and again, they gave this false report. Let's go ahead and pick up here in Numbers chapter 14. The Bible says, "Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" So what were they doing? They were rejecting Moses as the one God raised up to lead them. They were rejecting the Lord himself, who was working in the life of Moses to lead them. They didn't believe that God could do what he said he would do. Isn't it utter foolishness when you think about it? You think about the 10 plagues and how miraculous they were and how the people witnessed these plagues, and that's how God led them out of Egypt. And then think about how God was leading them day by day in the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, all these awesome things, and yet here's this land. God has promised it to them. It's a wonderful land, and the people are like, "God, you can't do it. We don't believe you. We think you let us out here to kill us. We just want to go back to our slavery." It's just showing that there's a problem at the root of it. There's a problem in their hearts. That problem is unbelief. They do not trust in God. God wants us to know that he can do anything. He can do what seems impossible. If we really believe in him, we're going to be always open to that reality that anything is possible with the Almighty God. Picking up in verse 5 of Numbers 14, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel." And then verse 6 mentions Joshua and Caleb. And keep in mind, they were two of the 12 spies, but they were the only two that believed in their heart in the Almighty God, and they believed that God would do what he promised. Of course, you know the story there where God let all of the people 20 years and older die in the wilderness, and only Joshua and Caleb are the only adult people out of that entire group that God allowed to enter the promised land. Why did everyone else die out there? Because of unbelief. Why did they enter? Because they believed. God wants us to see it makes a huge difference. So it says that Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us." The Lord was enabling them to do what to their enemies? Maybe we could say to eat them up. Like we eat a loaf of bread, they were bread to them. The Lord made them bread to them. Notice what it says. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. How did the congregation respond to that? It says, then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, I'm not sure if that's referring to Moses and Aaron or to Joshua and Caleb or possibly to all four of them, but even hearing the truth, they reacted even in a more harsh way of unbelief. Very sad situation. So when the going got tough, they complained and sought a leader who would do it their way. They rejected the Lord's way. So they did not hold fast. And why is that? That is because of their unbelief. So they were disobedient. That is the symptom. But what was the root of the problem? The root of the problem was unbelief. Part 3. Let us encourage each other to hold fast. Picking up in verse 12 of Hebrews 3, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So it is important for those who do believe to exhort each other. That means we are to earnestly urge each other in ways that are good, that are right, that are pleasing to God, ways that will build us up in our faith, not pull us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice I underlined hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. That means it is dishonest, deceptive, misleading. That's how the devil works. I don't know if you saw the paper on Friday there, where there was a group of clergy people, and they were at the abortion clinic in Cleveland, and they were placing a blessing upon the clinic, because they want to make sure that the clinic can do its work of killing babies. So these are people who are officially saying, we represent the Almighty God, we think this is a good thing, and we want to put a blessing of God upon this place. Boy, you talk about calling evil good and good evil. But we have so much of that out there today. God wants us to see it and to know that no matter how right it might seem, it simply does not agree with God's word, and we should not go in that direction. So sometimes sin wants to say to us, whatever we have going in our own hearts and minds, just like the people in Numbers 14, they thought, we've got an idea, let's get rid of our leaders, we'll get a new leader, and we'll do it our way. Sin says to us, hey, don't worry, do it your way, God will be okay with it, and everything will be fine, both now and forever. So it's a very deceitful, deceptive thing. And let's understand that that kind of work is going on in all of us to some extent because we all have the old nature. Praise God for the new nature, but we all have the old nature too. And what did Martin Luther say? He said it's important on a daily basis that we are drowning the old nature and allowing the new nature to emerge and arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Take note that there is a very real connection between belief and action. So looking here at letters A and B, first of all, acts of belief. So I say that those who believe seek to do whatever God says. So when you have the root of belief, what kind of a tree grows from the root of belief? Well, it's a root that wants to know and do what God says. For example, such people want to be diligent in daily Bible time and prayer. They know it's important for them. It says in various places in the Bible, the utmost importance of meditating on the Word of God day and night. Such people want to be faithful in weekly Bible class and divine service because they know that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They want to be generous in supporting the soul-saving work of God's kingdom because they know that they are benefiting from it and they want others to benefit from it too. And also, too, such people are consistent in serving as they have been gifted, because when we use the gifts that God has given, that's a way that we thank and honor him for those gifts. What about acts of unbelief? I think those who do not believe are pretty good at making up excuses for whatever God says. For example, Bible and prayer, people would say, hey, I can be a Christian without those kinds of things. I'm a Christian, I'm okay, I don't need Bible time and prayer. Bible class and divine service, at least at Bethlehem, those are too long and too difficult, I can't do that. How about giving generously? Hey, I have my own bills to pay. The church needs to figure it out on its own. And what about serving? I know someone else will do it. We have a lot of good-hearted people. Someone else will do it. I don't need to serve. So sometimes we can get into that kind of stuff. And sometimes that can happen for those who do not believe. And other times, even for us who do believe, we can kind of begin to get these ideas because the old nature is kind of creeping up and getting a hold of us a little bit. So with the people of Israel, they did not reject God, but they did reject God's ways. Even today, many who say they are Christians, they do not reject Christ, but they reject Christ's ways. I bet if we questioned those clergy who were there putting a blessing on the abortion clinic, I bet every one of them would claim Christ as Savior. But at the same time, though, they're certainly rejecting many of God's ways by viewing the killing of babies in the way that they are. So they're saying on one hand, we embrace Christ, but then on the other hand, they're going their way and doing their own thing, and it just isn't compatible. God wants us to see that. So the question here, is it possible to do it our way and yet still be saved? I think we'd kind of like it that way, wouldn't we? I want to figure it out the way I think is best. I want to do it that way, and I still want to go to heaven someday. Is that really the thought process, though, of those who are in Christ? I noted four Bible passages there, and there are probably 1,000 of them we could have put down. But let me share some of them with you. So in Psalm 145, picking up in verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." So what does that mean? The Lord keeps all who love him. So how do we show our love for him? By saying, I'm a Christian, by saying, I believe in you. Jesus said, if you love me, you will, keep my commandments. Or there in John 15, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Or how do we make disciples? There in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go out there and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe, in other words, to do all that I have commanded you. So it's a typical thing that we not only are united to Christ in baptism, but then we want to know what Jesus taught, and we want then to do what Jesus taught. These are all parts of the Christian life. Not how we are saved, but part of the Christian life. Or finally there in James chapter 1, it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." So people who hear but take no action on what they hear, they might feel good about themselves saying, hey, I went to church, I heard it, I feel fine. But if we're not letting it process through our hearts and minds, and we're not figuring out how that particular thing now fits into the action of my daily life, then there's some kind of a disconnect. Going on to the fourth and final part, I say here that the root of the problem is unbelief. So picking up in verse 15 of Hebrews 3, it says, "As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Let me just stop there for a moment. This idea of hardening our hearts, the classic place to pick up on that in the Bible would be when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God says, let my people go. So the Bible says over and over again that Pharaoh hardened his heart. So what was the situation? God was saying to Pharaoh, this is what I want you to do, let my people go. And Pharaoh kept saying, no. So when he heard God's command, hardening his heart meant that he chose to reject what God said rather than to do what God said. Let me start with 15 again. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. What characterized those people? They were characterized by disobedience, but what was the root of their problem? Unbelief. So from the unbelief came the disobedience. That's what was showing. So like if you picture the tree on the front of the service folder, the roots of the tree that you can't see, that would be the unbelief, and what's up above the ground, that would be the disobedience. God wants us to see how the two are connected together. So note the parallel here as we think about what happened long ago and what's going on today. So with the time of Moses and the multitude in the wilderness, they heard, they hardened their hearts, so they did not do what God said, and they died in the wilderness, so they did not enter the promised land. So what was the root of their problem? Well, the symptom was disobedience. The root was unbelief. What about today? Some people hear, of those who do hear, many harden their hearts, so they do not do what God says, and many, unfortunately, will die without Jesus. So he wants us to see again how you have this symptom, which is disobedience. And where does that come from? What is the root of the matter? The root of the matter is unbelief. So I conclude in this way. I say, let us examine ourselves in the light of God's word, not in the light of what our friends and neighbors think, but in the light of God's word. Let us see our sins. Let us identify the root of the problem, whatever it might be. In some cases, it might be unbelief. In some cases, it might be that we are letting the old nature get too much a hold of us. We need to do what Luther said and drown it day by day. Maybe we're letting too much of the world to creep into our lives. Maybe we're saying, I have to watch my favorite TV program so I don't have time to meditate on the Word of God and hear what God has to say to me. So maybe God is saying, hey, adjust your life. Stop watching that particular program and spend time in my word. God wants us to see how this thing maybe is interesting, but it really has no eternal significance. And in fact, it could pull you away from God's eternal blessings, while this thing, this can bless you now and forever. God wants us to step back and see these realities in our lives. Then, by God's grace, let us always believe in Jesus as our only Savior. It's not about anything we do. It's all about what he has done for us. And then let us know that heaven is open for us. Again, not because of what we have done, but all because of his finished work. And then gladly, let us do whatever he says as a way to thank and honor him for his great goodness to us, moment by moment, day by day. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.